Least items 653 and 654.
653 authorized the purchase of certain real property located at 10506 East Burnside Street at a price not to exceed $14,400,000 for affordable housing. 654 authorized a temporary interfund loan of $48 million between the Development Services Fund and the Housing Capital Fund to provide interim financing for multiple anticipated affordable housing property purchases.
All right, colleagues, let me read through my talking points, and I can probably cover most of the presentation here. I'm sorry that this happened so late that we lost, I think, most all of our presenters, but we still have some very strong folks here waiting in the dugout. The housing bond, as you all know, promised 1,300 units of permanently affordable housing that would be created at a variety of income levels within 5 to 7 years of passage. We're on track to accomplish that. In the first year and a half, we have nearly half of the promised units in process in both new developments and acquisitions of existing buildings to both provide new housing opportunities as well as preventing displacement. With the addition of this acquisition, the Portland Housing Bureau now has 3 bond projects identified, another 3 under contract, that means either in due diligence or preparing to close, and 2 prospects. Progress to date includes 314 total units, 270 net added, the remainder, of course, being permanently protected, 199 family size units, and that does not include 44 Ellington units, 96 units at 30% AMI, 29 supportive housing units, and 68 project-based vouchers. The Housing Bureau is very excited, as am I, to bring this resolution before the Council, signifying an important step forward in the housing bond. The acquisition of this 51-unit building will provide affordable housing to individuals and formerly homeless families, over 160 people in total, in an area highly vulnerable to gentrification and displacement. The property's location in the Hazelwood neighborhood and David Douglas High School District in East Portland is home to the city's most diverse populations, with communities of color and foreign-born households representing half of all residents. The building includes 8 studio, 21 bedroom, and 24 two-bedroom apartments. After purchase, 1 studio apartment is going to be converted to a community space for supportive housing services and resident service activities. 16 project-based housing choice vouchers, Section 8, will be available from Home Forward for households earning between 0 and 30% of area median income, and 9 units will be reserved as supportive housing for families. The remaining units will provide housing for households earning between 31 and 60% AMI. Home Forward will provide asset management services for the property under the intergovernmental agreement, which has already been approved by the Council. That was approved on February 28th. Upon transfer of the property, income-qualified tenants will begin moving in immediately, including at least 9 family households currently experiencing homelessness. The Portland Housing Bureau's tenanting strategy focuses on utilizing the region's homeless family system of care to provide referrals to the 16 units for households earning between 0 and 30% AMI. In coordination with the Joint Office of Homeless Services and Home Forward, JOIN will be contracted to provide on-site services to 9 supportive housing units for formerly homeless families. Resident services will also be available for all tenants of these newly created units through a partnership agreement with a local nonprofit experienced in providing eviction prevention, resource referrals, and youth activities. Last paragraph. More progress is on the horizon for the housing bond. The demolition of the former Safari Club is complete, making way for the pre-development work of designing the future building for 3000 Southeast Powell Boulevard that includes at least 200 units of affordable housing. Staff is also hard at work assessing 3 or 4 additional projects currently under contract and finalizing policies for tenant screening criteria incomes rising in place and over income residents of existing building acquisitions. With that, I will turn it over to Director Callahan. Are you first up today?
I am. And
fabulous.
Thank you, Mayor. I think you said quite a bit.
I sure did. It felt like I said quite a bit.
Thank you very much. And I know with the lateness of the hour, I'll just touch on a few highlights before I turn it over to Frieda Christopher and to Susan Emmons, who are the two stalwart panelists who have remained with us this evening. Frieda, having served on the stakeholder advisory group to create the policy framework, and Susan now working on the bond oversight committee with us. We had the opportunity to buy this building that we're able to lease up rather quickly. It's been a very fast process for us. I'm going to just skip. Within 6 months of hearing of this property, we're now bringing it to you for your approval. It is a high-quality building with durable finishes. These are apartments that are spacious and large with light and airy rooms. And quite frankly, as we look to prioritize homeless families coming in, one of the greatest assets, I think, is a washer and dryer. I can't think of anything of more benefit to kiddos than having clean clothes after they've lived in shelters or in cars or in other places. So that's not my formal talking points, but that, for me, is what excites me about this building.
Does each apartment have a washer and dryer?
Each apartment has a washer and dryer. So, and they're, as I said, very spacious units. I hope you'll all join us for a grand opening that we're planning on having next month so you can see it for yourself. Before I do turn it over, I would like to thank a couple of key staff members. We have worked tirelessly at the Bureau to make sure that these pipeline projects are happening. And I'd like to acknowledge Javier Mena, Carl Dinkelspiel, Tanya Wolfsberger, Bobby Daniels, Kathy Romero, Emily Benoit, and Jennifer Chang, especially for all of their efforts. With that, in the lateness of the day, I'm going to leave you with I apologize for the shortness of my presentation, but I'll leave you with some final pictures.
Don't apologize.
to look at. And with that, Frieda.
Oh, go first. Okay. Mayor, Commissioners, thank you for having me here today. My name is Frieda Christopher. I'm Vice Chair of the David Douglas School Board and Co-Chair of EPAP Housing Subcommittee. And as Shannon said, I was also on the Housing Bond Stakeholder Group. Just to refresh some of the things about East Portland, as the mayor said, it's a very diverse community. In David Douglas School District, we have about 75 languages spoken in our schools. East Portland also has the largest concentration of immigrant and refugee population, which often means larger families. East Portland also has a large population of low-income working families that are often facing large increases in their rent when they're already rent burdened, and they are facing no-cause evictions. About 5 years ago, studies indicated East Portland would not be facing gentrification or displacement for significant years. Unfortunately, that's not been the case. East Portland is now in the secondary stages of gentrification, and we are seeing displacement happening. David Douglas alone has lost over 400 students in the last 3 years, which is an indicator of displacement. Although East Portland is still the most affordable area in Portland, it no longer is affordable for many of our families. Again, this year, David Douglas has over 400 students that have been identified as homeless. The East Portland community has long advocated for greater investment of tax dollars in the area, both in new buildings and displacement prevention efforts. Unlike many areas in Portland, we do not advocate not in our neighborhood. In fact, on Monday, the EPAP Housing Subcommittee has selected one of its strategic priorities for the next 2 years is to advocate for more bond dollars and other funds to be spent on land banking and affordable housing in East Portland. Many of our community members are part of vulnerable populations, and EPAP would like them to remain in our community. We are pleased to see this first new building under the bond in East Portland, especially one with strong focus on stabilizing children and families. David Douglas sees the importance of stabilizing our families so students can be more successful and have greater chance of graduating on time. The homeless family system is already working with many of our families in East Portland, and this project will go further to stabilize family. Just speaking with our superintendent this morning, they're popping up with ideas, and since this one will be opening prior to school starting, they're looking at have school registration right on site to help those families rather than having to get to the schools to register. I strongly encourage you to approve the bond funds for the purchase of the building, which is a step forward in stabilizing housing for some of our community members. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Susan Emmons, and I'm a member of the Bond Oversight Committee, and it was established early on that as they had property review committee, there would be two members of the Bond Oversight Committee at each one of these meetings where they decided to go ahead and look at a property seriously to make an offer or not. And I was at the committee meeting when they first looked at this property. And what excited me about this property was that it's a new building. It's uninhabited. The staff at PHDB did an excellent job of presenting us information ahead of time so we could really look at did it meet the goals and the criteria of the stakeholder group, which it did very well, very completely, location. But since it's a new building, there are no tenants, no displacement, and I was thrilled about that. We were very excited about the larger units for families, and as Shannon said, when I heard about the washer and dryer, wow. And I've imagined what it will be like for the families who are going to come to this building. I mean, some of them will come from homeless shelters. Some of them will come from transitional housing. I know that when people first see their unit, they're going to cry when they see the private bathroom. I experienced that with people. There's going to be stability for the families and children. The office on site, there's going to be the ability for these agencies that serve homeless families to have an office to meet with the people that they're supporting. That's very key that there will be an office on site. It's a great neighborhood. It's needed in this neighborhood. It's on mass transit. There will be people living in the building who won't have cars and will utilize the mass transit. So I think it's a wonderful opportunity. And I also would like to applaud, I think, the members of the Oversight Committee, very knowledgeable. I've been very impressed and a little intimidated by the other four members and how much knowledge they have and information about development. And there hasn't been a question that they've asked that the staff hasn't answered and been very responsible about getting the information to us and been very thorough in being very prudent about what we're going to look at and buy. And then finally, to hear from the staff who looked at the building ahead of time and told us how well made it was and how it's going to last for years, beautifully constructed, spacious, beautiful lighting. And just finally, my experience in this field has been that architecture will transform people and change their lives. And it's wonderful to think that for some of the poorest people in our community, we're going to give them beauty in their lives and that it will be solid and a place to start from and put down roots and their family gets to stay, not move in schools. So I'm thrilled by the building. I hope you support allocating the bond funds to purchase it.
Very good. Thank you. Is there a public testimony on this item, Carla?
Yes. One person, Lightning Super Creativity Watchdog.
Lightning, you're up.
Yes, my name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Super Creativity Watchdog. I think this is an impressive buy. I think I like the new building. I like the fact it's just recently been developed. I like the fact jobs have been created, materials have been bought in the local communities. Those are one of the things that I tried to emphasize on the overall bond. Create jobs, buy materials in the local community, provide housing, expand the property tax base, which goes back into the general fund, which can also go back to other issues pertaining to housing. Now, one of the questions I have on this, I like the fact, I didn't see the square footage ratio on here, but I understand there are larger square footage, so I do like that. The issue that I have I like your price per unit. I think you're right in the range that it should be. One of the factors I wanted to try to figure out here is that when we're creating property tax expansion by these type of buildings when they're being developed, how are we going to be funding these supportive housing type units? Have we created that ongoing revenue stream? And can we create that income stream by when we're developing new units, we automatically know a certain amount will go into the general fund, and we declare that it'll be go toward the supportive housing units? And that's what I wanted to have an understanding, and that's why I've stated I prefer to develop new, such as this, and up to ADA standards is my biggest concern. A lot of other issues, but this is a nice quality building. It's a great buy. It's what the bond should be used for. So I'm at total agreement on this. And again, I'm just looking at expansion of the property tax base and an ongoing revenue stream for the supportive housing units in these properties. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Perfectly timed. Very good. So, colleagues, we have one ordinance and one resolution here. Is there any further question before we vote on the ordinance? Very good. Please call the roll.
Saltzman.
Well, this is an outstanding purchase. And where'd Susan Evans go? Is she still there? Oh, there you are. Okay. I think you're very knowledgeable, and I think you hold your own, I'm sure, with the rest of the members of the Oversight Committee. But, this is a great purchase. I want to thank Director Callahan and her staff for bringing this forward to us and the support of the Bond Oversight Committee. This really is giving people brand-new housing. It's just you can't calculate, I think, as Susan said, the impact that it has on people. And these look beautiful from the photographs we saw, and it's a great location, very transit-friendly, in a good school district, so it's really a win-win-win-win-win. So please support it. Aye.
You Daly.
Well, thank you, Director Callahan, and thank you, Frida and Susan, for sticking it out with us. It's been a especially long day. I'm very pleased to vote aye.
Fritz.
Congratulations, Director Callahan, everybody involved. Thank you, Susan, for your service on the committee. Thanks, Frida Christopher, for being here and staying as well. I couldn't help but reflect that your position now is quite different from what it was maybe 5 years ago, and I appreciate your leadership in showing that we can think holistically and do things that benefit all of us. I have to say that my washer and dryer are still my favorite appliances, and I'm very grateful to them every single week. Aye.
Wheeler.
I could do without my washer and dryer.
No, you can't.
I have lots of things I want to say, but I guess I'll just be brief and to the point. First of all, I want to thank everybody who was involved in this process. I think you did an outstanding job. And I think we as a council and we as concerned citizens in this community who care about housing affordability, we need to start talking about it differently. And Director Callahan and I have had this conversation. I was thinking as I was reading the latest article on our affordable housing not being affordable and realizing how we are missing an opportunity with our public to explain more clearly what it is they have asked us to do, first of all, and second of all, talking about how what we are doing is directly aligned with what they have asked us to do. And since this is an affordable housing plan, I'm just going to take a moment to take the opportunity to address a couple of these things. Every time we buy a building, or every time we build a building, somebody is going to take the ratio of the cost of the building to the number of front doors on the units. And they're going to say, the cost is X per unit. And then they're going to go find somebody in Portland and say, these guys paid $280,000 per door. What could you have built it for? And they'll think about a lot that they purchased somewhere outside of the I-205 corridor, and they'll think about some studio and one-bedroom apartments they built, and they'll come up with a number that's, let's say, half And people will say, see, these guys at City Hall, they don't get it. They don't understand how to build affordable housing. And so we need to stop talking about the number of units, because it ultimately becomes an apples to oranges comparison and it's confusing. We need to talk about the number of people. A studio apartment in an SRO building outside of I-205 is not the same thing as a building inside the corridor that has larger family size units and also meets our requirements around 0 to 30 and permanent supportive housing. They are not the same thing. And we need to talk about outcomes, not the dollars per door. And so that's going to require us, I think, to be more aggressive. I also heard an interesting criticism this week earlier. I think, in fact, I was being described as stupid, because, which, you know, may not be far from the truth. I don't know. But let me run this one by you. They say, why on earth are you buying buildings that already have tenants in them? Because you're not adding to the housing stock. That is factually true, except for a really important aspect, which is we are permanently protecting the affordability of that housing stock. So in some cases, it's not about creating additional housing stock. It's about making sure that people of all income ranges and all walks of life can continue to live in this city. For example, where do you think the people who are working in our vibrant restaurant culture are living? What about the people in our vibrant arts and culture community? Where are they living? What about the people who make that amazing beer that we all celebrate? Where do you think they are living? And I'll tell you this, if they cannot afford to live in this city, we lose a lot of what makes this city worth living in for all of us. So protecting housing at affordable rates for the long run is really important. Now, last but not least, I'm throwing this in for Jennifer Cooperman because she's sitting here, fellow former Treasury nerd. Life cycle costs matters to me. We could go out and buy a bunch of tough sheds and throw them on a street corner and say, look, we're building housing at $500 per unit and take the first prize for being the cheapos of the year. But we're going to have to replace those, and they're not going to have the same amenities. And if you're looking at a 100-year life cycle, sometimes investing more up front in quality materials and quality construction and thinking about things like energy efficiency, those things actually save you money over the long term in terms of life cycle costs. And anybody who owns or manages real estate for a living, they all know this stuff. But we've done a lousy job, and I take personal responsibility for this, in explaining these principles to the public. I think if I and we could do a better job of talking about how we are, in fact, being very good fiscal stewards of the dollars they entrusted us to, I think they would read and listen and hear criticisms with maybe a little more skepticism, or maybe have a few follow-up questions. So that's sort of my hope. I went on a lot longer than I wanted to do on that. Anyway, I vote aye. Thank you, everybody. The ordinance is adopted. Jennifer, before we get to, is there anything you wanted to add before we talked about the resolution? Good. Call the roll.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
So this authorizes the interfund loan. Thank you very much, Jennifer Cooperman from the City Financial Officer and the Housing Bureau. And Development Services Fund. This is a good way to finance this amazing project. Aye.
Wheeler.
I vote aye. The resolution is adopted, and believe it or not, we are adjourned.